In that church. So, Brother Jim, you...
Bibles, 2 Kings chapter 9. I know you're tired, I'm tired, and we'll try to get through as fast as we can so you can get something to eat. It's good to be here. Thank God for this place. Thank God to get to come here and preach. I appreciate those last messages, but they are good. 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9, a great passage here. The reading in verse 30 and 31. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30 and verse 31. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she pained her face and tired her head and looked out at the window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Hath Zimri peace, who slew his master?" Brother Hensley, hear us in a word of prayer, please.
Father, we're so thankful and grateful to be here this morning. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we appreciate the message we've heard this morning. But my Father and I ask that you use Brother Lynn to speak to our heart. Stir the people in this place this day for the glory of God. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you look down there in verse 31, we see a name down there, and the name of that woman down there is Jezebel. And no doubt the first time that you hear that name, some of you men like to preach on that all the time, and you women, you get ERA, hair gets up on your back. And what we like to do sometimes as Bible believers, and get all fired up and just preach against the women, and I'm telling you something, there's a reason why Jezebel turned out the way she did. She didn't just happen to come into being and be a hellcat. Something along the way, there was an evil process of thinking or an evil process of raising that girl why she didn't turn out right. And us fellows like to get up and scream and holler and rape the women, but I'm telling you tonight, it's you men's fault if your daughter don't turn out right. Amen, we have fun already. Now this church, this message ain't to women, it's to the church. Amen. I looked up in the Strong's Concordance. I ain't smart enough to look it up anything else to try to find out what the name Jezebel meant. You know what Jezebel means? It means chaste. Chaste. Chaste means to be holy, to be pure, to be free from obscenities. She's got a name that means chaste. Now wait a minute. As we read the Bible and find out Jezebel's life, and we find out that her name doesn't match her lifestyle, we find a paradox just from her name to the way she lived. So something obviously happened. Now we know that in her life she followed idolatry. We know that by reading the Bible. And then she slew Jehovah's prophets. And then she tried to get a hold of Elijah and kill Elijah, but God wouldn't let her. She went down there and secured Naboth's death and got her husband to go down there and to take Naboth's vineyard. We know all these things. She's a type of the pagan papistry in Revelation chapter 17 as you read your Bible. So don't you get all puffed up saying Elijah ran from her. Some of you would run if the Catholics coming after you. Say, not me, you better watch it. Like the preacher just said, you may not be who you really think you are. And when they come down and start asking who's doing this and who's doing that, we may just change our bold stand a little bit. Amen. Now her husband Ahab was a tool in her hands. What she did was she was using her husband to fulfill her own purpose. And by doing that, she got out, got Israel backslid on God and messed up Israel, and God had to raise up the man Elijah. Now, the more that Elijah got involved, the more that Jezebel hated Elijah. She hated Elijah. She learned that he was after her priest. He killed her priest. Boy, he was calling fire down from heaven. He could call rain down and stop the rain. I mean, this old girl hated him. But it's a funny thing that her name means to be pure and to be chaste. Now, this woman was the daughter of a man by the name of Ethbaal. Ethbaal. Strange name. I mean, at one time, no doubt, Jezebel was a nice, little, pretty, cute, sweet little girl. Elvis Presley was, and John Lennon was, and Marilyn Monroe was. At one time, there was somebody that somebody loved. I mean, everybody just didn't turn out bad because they just didn't grow up, get grown up right. Some of you tonight had a good upbringing. She didn't have a good one. She had a daddy who was a Baalite. He was a Zidonian king. Amen. Something happened to Jezebel along the way. I know this, that a child left to itself will bring shame to that family. It'll bring shame to that mama. It'll bring shame to that daddy. It'll bring shame to the house of God tonight. And we need to get busy and raise our children for God. Amen. Well, let's look and see what made this girl get so bad. First of all, her early training was bad. She was a daughter of a man named Ethbel. He's a Zidonian king. He's got royalty. The early training of a child is very important. Someone said, well, I'm going to let them just run the way they want to until they get to their teenage years, and then I'll try to get them involved in the house of God, and I'll just let them do anything. You better watch it. Her name means chaste. Her name means purity. But she turns up painting her face and committing whoredom, spiritual whoredom, which is worse than whoredom in the flesh. Amen. What was wrong with her? What was wrong with her upbringing? First of all, she had the wrong gods. She had Baal. She had Ashtaroth. She had Dagon. She's the queen of the Zidonian king. Sometimes we set up little gods for our kids and try to make people look like they're gods instead of the Word of God, and instead of the church house, and instead of prayer, instead of the Bible. We're giving our children the wrong gods tonight. And when you give them the wrong gods, something will happen out to those people. That was her daddy's fault. Her daddy gave her the wrong God, so she had no reality of heaven in her mind. So she didn't know what sin was. She didn't know what it was. She just thought you could carry on any way you wanted to because she was the king's daughter. Well, she could treat anybody the way she wanted to, talk to anybody the way they wanted to. You know why? She didn't have no God in her life. Not only that, she had no peace of mind, no peace of heart. So what she did was she sought after things of the world that could please that void of God down in her life. She had the wrong training. Then she had the wrong morals. You see, when there's no God, there's no morality. Sad thing to say, most of all, today, in most of our churches, there's no morality. Young girls in their teenage years come in painted up like 50 or 60-year-old women. You know why? There ain't no God in that place. There ain't no morality in that place. Bring the morals in that place. So they got to try to fashion themselves up to this world. No doubt when she was a little girl, daddy brought her down to the temple. Down to the temple of Dagon, or down to the temple of Ashtaroth, or down to the temple of Baal. And boy, she get in that thing, and probably back then, the services in the temple had changed from services back to just a place where you could get entertained. The music was for entertainment and not for exaltation of the Savior. The music there was to get people excited instead of getting people right with God. Amen. They had exchanged the temple into a theater to where everybody's a part of the show. And the preachers had got back out of the Word of God. They had turned from God, and they started preaching philosophy and education and more and all these ungodly things. You know what? To get a big crowd. And she came down there and found out that at the temple there was no real God. So when she grew up, she said, I went to church all my life. I went to Sunday school, and I want nothing to do with it now. She had the wrong training. She had the wrong God. Then she had the wrong goals. Since she didn't have no God, she had the wrong goals in life. Amen. You see, when there's no God, there's no limits. And her daddy wasn't man enough to set limitations upon that young lady, so she just sowed to the wind. A lot of them like that in Baptist churches today. Amen. I mean, she could go to the church house and see an idol. Not out of her eyes, had a mouth, had ears, had hands, had feet, but it couldn't do nothing for her. And she went there week after week after week, and week after week, when she went there, she'd go home with Ethel, her daddy, and sit down and notice that he didn't have what they said he was supposed to have down at the church house. She had the wrong goals in her life. Amen. Her goals were to be popular instead of godly. Yeah. Amen. And no matter what road she had to take to be popular, because she was the king's daughter, she's going to take that road because she wanted to be popular in this world instead of being godly. Well, she had the wrong grasp of life, too. She thought that life was a thing to be served. She thought she was to be served because she was the king's daughter instead of get off her high horse and serve somebody else. Amen. She never learned to serve people. Amen. She never learned to meet her responsibilities from her childhood. Some of you don't make your kids meet the responsibilities.
Man.
Some of you let them do what they want to do. Yeah. You let them run any way they want to, you think this Christian school is going to take care of them. It can't do it.
Right.
It's going to take you to do it, F. Bale. Yeah. I'm not talking to your wife. I'm talking to you, F. Bale. It's you that's got to do it. Unless you want a Jezebel to turn out. Amen. Never taught her to be unselfish. Never taught her to go without things. She always had to have everything everybody else had. Never taught her the blessing of giving. Never taught her that other people have more needs than what she had because she had it piled up. Carson, be the father that keeps throwing stakes down to their children when they're in the hog pen. You're going to get an Ahab or a Jezebel. You better teach them to go without some things in this world. I know some people, their kids are out in the pig pen, and they keep giving them money and money and money and pet them and pet them. They're getting deeper in that hog pen. You better not do it. You'll get yourself an Ahab. You'll get yourself a Jezebel. Well, she had the wrong early training. Then she had that early training led into an unfortunate marriage. You see, because she wasn't reared right, she didn't look for a man the right way. And by the way, girls, you ain't to look for a man. The Bible says it's good if a man finds a wife. This girl's chasing boys is straight out of the exhaust pipes of hell. You go running around telling, I like this boy, and I like this boy, and he likes me, and let's all get it together. I'm going to call up on the phone. You're wicked as hell. If you don't watch out, you'll turn into a Jezebel, hon. Boy, ain't we having fun. Now, she married the wrong man. She married a man that wouldn't lead. She married a man she could control. See, because obviously Ethbaal couldn't lead either. Although he was the king of the kingdom of the Zidonians, he still couldn't lead. So she marries a man like her daddy that can't lead. Amen. That unfortunate marriage, she married the wrong man. She didn't seek God. She didn't have no God. How could she seek him? All she sought was how her flesh felt. She married a man of the wrong religion. He wasn't from Israel. He was a Zidonian. If I had a little daughter and I don't, I only got one boy. That's all God ever gave us. 18 years of marriage, that's all God ever gave me, one boy. If he gave me a little girl, I would not let my little girl date a Catholic.
Amen.
I'd not let her date a Presbyterian.
Amen.
Or a Methodist or a Southern Baptist. Amen. Amen. I wouldn't let her date most independent Baptist. Amen.
Amen.
You will, F. Bale, because you don't care who she, all you want to do is get her out of the house. Amen. I wouldn't let my date, I wouldn't let my boy live in my house and date someone who didn't believe the King James Bible. Didn't like old-fashioned preaching and old-fashioned singing and the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't let that girl come out of my house. So he'll run off. He might. But I better to have him run off than turn into an Ahab.
That's right.
Well, she married man for the wrong reason. She married that man so she could get prestige instead of be a servant to him like a wife's supposed to be. But that all came from her early living. Amen. She married for a position, not love. Might have been lust, but it wasn't love. Amen. Do you know what happened to this thing? You got Jezebel, and she marries the wrong man because she was brought up wrong. And God lets that thing go for years and years, but he catches her and her children. God don't bring out the wrath until the children. You know who Jezebel's daughter is? Her name's Athaliah. Do you know what she did? She slew the prophets of God. And she usurped the kingdom for 6 years. Where did she learn that? From Mama. Your little matriarchal society. Mama prayed me in, and Mama did this, and Mama did that. What about Daddy? Where's he at? Mama took me to church. Where was Daddy? That's why you went to the pool halls and to drugs and to liquor and tobacco, because you have an example in your house. Amen. Amen. When you come together, you read over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, chapter 24 and verse 7, it talks about Athaliah. It says she was a wicked woman that committed whoredoms. That sin of Jezebel from her daddy who wouldn't raise her right came to an unfortunate marriage and went down to her children. I was raised up in a Catholic family. My mama was lost. My daddy was lost. But when I got saved, I got bulldog determined. I don't want my boy to grow up in a home like I grew up in, where there was bickering, cussing, and fight. I want to grow up where God's at. Amen. I don't want no Ahab. If I had a girl, I don't want no Jezebel. Amen. When you go to dating, girls, you listen to me, and you boys, you listen here. We're going to eat in a minute. Don't worry. But when you look for a boy, first of all, you look for him spiritually. Spiritually. I don't care if he's the ugliest boy this side of Burke County. You look for that boy if he loves God Almighty. A Jaguar may be fast, but they don't run very long, and they cost a lot to repair. Amen. Get yourself a Volkswagen. Amen. I mean something that'll run forever. But when you get to dating, you better make sure that that boy or that girl, or you get fixing to get married, I mean that you can come together spiritually first. Then you got to come together socially. That means having the same things in mind. The boy wants to do this and the girl wants to do that. That thing don't work out. Your main purpose in your marriage ought to be God Almighty and bring glory to Him. You got to come together spiritually, socially, and then sexually. We got it backed around. Kids today want to come together sexually and socially. And if they can fit God in, then they'll go ahead and come in spiritually. It won't work like that. That's a bad marriage. Well, something else. Because she was brought up wrong, because she had an unfortunate marriage, but she prospered in her wrongdoing. Why? She prospered quite smartly in this thing. She had influence over her husband. She had influence over her religion. She had influence over her whole nation. You know why? Because she wasn't brought up right. Because she had an unfortunate marriage. So then she began to prosper, and I've seen God prosper a lot of backsliders, or this world does. Maybe God just keeps throwing them stuff till they come to the end of themselves. I don't know, but I've seen a lot of backsliders prosper in this world. But I sure see their kids on their way to hell. Amen. Now you notice this chaste little girl, pure little girl, lovely little girl, is turning out to be an ungodly monster. Well, something else. She had the right pastor. She had Elijah. Elijah got mad one time, and she got mad at him. And she told him, if you're going to be like these prophets tomorrow, if I'm anybody, what I'm saying I am. And he got afraid and ran. But I'll tell you what, when Elijah got up on that mountain, and God wasn't in the earthquake, and he wasn't in the wind, he wasn't in the fireball, and when that still small voice came to him, he didn't run no more. And the reason people run today is because they ain't listening for that still small voice. Yeah. But once you hear that still small voice, you'll not run no more. Yeah. You'll get a backbone like a saw log. Amen. You'll stand up there and preach the word of God. Amen. Amen. He ran from her once, but he wouldn't run for no more. Now, if someone's going to shoot me, that'll be okay, but they ain't going to shoot me in the back. I'm just going to let you know that. Someone said, your preaching's a little too sharp. Well, I'm glad it ain't like yours. A little too weak. You can shoot me, go ahead, but you ain't shoot me in the back. They're going to shoot me about that far away from your nostrils. That's how Elijah got. I think that's what we need in the pulpits today. Why? We got so many little Jezebels, so many little Ahabs in the house of God. Why? Because we won't preach the word of God. That's why. Unless she had the right pastor. She obviously was going to his church, amen. But she tried to substitute that for her spirituality when she wasn't spiritual at all. She thought by hanging with the right people and going to the right church, she could slip back there and live the way she wanted to. You can't do that today. It won't work very long. Amen. She had a sin problem. I found out that some people like to attach themselves to Christian celebrities, and then they think they're part of the show. We don't need to be part of the show. We need to be up on that mountain listening for a still small voice to find out how to get little Jezebel right and get little Ahab right and get Israel right, get the nation right. Amen. He didn't fear her. He didn't fear her church. He didn't fear the outcome. Well, look at some of the results of Carmel. 450 prophets are killed. One man against 450 prophets. I found this out, that you cannot judge truth by the numbers of those that go along with it. Just because there's a big crowd don't mean it's truth. One man against 450 here. You say, well, it's growing, it's doing good. That's surface. That's just surface. What's underneath? I heard a man say one time, success isn't what you see today, it's what's left when you're gone. That's success. Well, the results of karma, what happened? Well, her God was beaten, Baal was beat by Jehovah. Her position was exposed. Elijah showed those people of Israel that she was as wicked as hell itself. And then God got in there by exposing that and kicked her megalomania. I was down at a fellow's children's home one time, and he said, what do you think of this place? I said, brother, I think you're a megalomaniac. He said, is that good? I said, no, it means you're a self-made God. That's what God did to her. So she was rising up in Israel, raising up, boy, kicking the prophets of God. I mean, killing them and making them hide down there with Obadiah. I mean, boy, he was a kicking boy. She's just rising up, all of a sudden God came along and kicked her right off the throne. That's what God will do. I see him do lots of times. Amen. Now, this little chaste one, Jezebel, years later, why, she's the daughter of a king. She's fighting against God Almighty. Well, something went wrong. Well, let's look at her final opportunity to be here in 2 Kings chapter 9. Ahab's dead. Ahab got right with God. Did you ever read that in the Bible? Ahab comes back and he asks God to forgive him. That's the government. But Jezebel, the religious type, she don't get right. The government will repent, but religion won't. But Ahab comes back there and he prays with Elijah and he gets straightened out and he goes home. But he's gone. And now Jehu is the prophet here. And Elisha is the prophet of Israel. And in 2 Kings chapter 9, she goes up into a tower. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22 on this thing. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 22. And it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace, so long as the whoredom of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? Say, we can't have no peace, this stuff's around. Now, her final opportunity, she climbs up in a tower. And no doubt when she climbs up in that tower, she begins to blame Elijah, the man of God, for having her up in that tower. She don't take her own sin upon herself. Well, she says it's Elijah's fault. He told me back there in 1 Kings that I would do this in 23. He said I'd be here. And he said, now I'm here because he said I have to be here. Uh-uh. You're where you want to be because you're there. You want to be there. You're in the position you want to be right now with God. It ain't the man of God's fault. It ain't the preacher's fault. It ain't the evangelist's fault. It's your fault tonight if you're up that tree. Amen. And then what she does, she appeals to the Bible that she hated. And then she holds on to her falsehood until the end. She continually tries to paint that face. She's continually trying to be something she ain't. Always. Then the man of God comes along. She sticks her head out the window like there ain't nothing wrong. That's strange. Huh? You ever seen in your church? I see him in mine every once in a while. So Jehu, he says, anybody on my side? There's two or three eunuchs there. They said, we are. He said, you're on my side? He said, you're on my side. He said, okay, bless God, take her and throw her down into the street. And those two or three eunuchs get a hold of her and they throw her off that tower and throw her down into the streets. They were with God. They want to see God do something. Amen. Her blood's sprinkled up, the Bible said, and the horses got to tromping her underfoot. And when they go to bury her, all they find is her skull, the palms of her hand, and her feet. That's all they find when they go to bury her. The dogs ate her. Amen. Strange thing. Elijah the Tishbite told her what happened. But this little chaste girl, this little daughter of a king, this little queen of Israel wound up here in 2 Kings chapter 9 with just palms of her hand and feet left and a part of her skull left because her daddy wouldn't raise her right. It started out in her early training. Her parents never set the course for her for their children's life. They just said, she'll turn out okay. Oh, isn't that cute? Her mouthing off the people at church. Isn't that sweet the way she's dressed? Why, that rock music, it won't hurt too bad. Those folks she's running, it's not too bad. She'll turn out, right? Why, we have a church. Yeah. It was Ethbel's fault. Her daddy. He was man enough to be a Zidonian king, but he wasn't man enough to run his house. So it led to a bad marriage. It led to open shame. It led to forgery. It led to murder. It led to false lies. It led to death. Now, Jezebel's a sad story. A terrible story. She's more than just a worldly woman. She's an example that we're not to follow. She's a product of an ungodly daddy. A lot of parents, when their kids turn out bad, they get bitter at God. They ought not to get bitter at God. They poisoned the stream. What are they mad at? They're the ones that, look at verse 37, 35, 37, we'll quit. Watch this thing. Watch her end. Terrible. Verse 35, and they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. Watch. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. Jezebel. Why'd she turn out bad? Ethbaal. Why'd she wind up just the palms of her hand, her feet, and her skull left? That's the only thing they got, the only remembrance they had left of her? Daddy wouldn't raise her, right? Daddy wouldn't set no standards in the house. Daddy wouldn't take her to the right house of God. Daddy wouldn't keep her underneath the right type of preaching. And I'm telling you, it's the plague of King James independent premillennial separated Christians. Our children are going to hell. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Ethbaal. Jezebel. When we think of Jezebel, we think of some worldly woman running around in a pair of breeches and high-heeled shoes and made-up face. But the real reason she was like that was because her daddy wouldn't do nothing about it.
Let's stand, page 132. Let's sing. There is a fountain filled with love from Emmanuel's grave, and sinners crushed beneath the jug. All right, we're going to be dismissed. Dinner is ready.